Listeners are advised that the information shared in this podcast does not equate to medical advice. For all queries regarding your health, medication, and treatment, please see your GP.
Welcome to the Connect Groups podcast series.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Emily Mostyn Brown, and I am the Training and Development Coordinator here at Connect Groups. I'm joined today by Lisa Rin, the co-founder and treasurer of Soto Syndrome Australasia, to discuss her support group and the condition SOTOS. I'd like to start by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land on which we are recording this podcast today, the Whadjuk people of the Noongar Nation, their elders, past, present, and emerging. And I'd also like to acknowledge all those listening with lived experience.
Thanks,
welcome,
Emily.
Lisa. Why don't you tell us a little bit about SOTOS?
So SOTOS is a rare genetic disorder. And what happens is the child grows at a much larger rate than the average child does. So it's commonly known as cerebral gigantism. And I always use my daughter as an example. So currently at the moment she's 8 years old, but she's the size of a 14-year-old, but her development is around a 5-year-old. So through their youth, it's a big growing process, very quick, but very difficult for them to catch up to their peers. And then it'll sort of teeter out as they get into early adulthood.
What led you to start the Soto Syndrome Australasia Foundation?
So yes, I had never heard of it before. It's incredibly rare. And my daughter was born with it. And she was formally diagnosed at the age of 2. But from about 6 months onwards, they were doing testing and everything at PCH because she wasn't hitting her developmental milestones. And she started developing seizures and chronic things like pneumonia and bronchiolitis. And so I was introduced to another mother, her name's Claire, and she felt that this group was something that we needed because we've got no support network in WA, even Australia. And so four of us started the association all with our daughters in mind.
How long ago did you start this foundation?
In 2017. So it was a, we're still relatively young, but we're doing what we can to get our name out there and for people to really know that we are here and we mean business. And we're there to help our community and medical professionals, allied health professionals, and anyone else that is interested.
With your support group, what kind of events or activities do you run?
So we've only run a couple in the last few years, and they are just catch-ups around Christmas time in conjunction with International Day of People with Disability. But we actually have our first conference happening in April on the 14th here in WA, and that's for all of our members Australia-wide. So we do have some people flying in for the conference, which we're really excited about.
How rare is SOTOS?
It's roughly around 1 in 14,000 will develop with SOTOS.
When do signs or symptoms normally start to present themselves within the children?
If someone is aware of SOTOS, they may pick it up quite early on from birth because of the facial features. Otherwise, it will be more as the months go on in terms of the development. But there's such a wide range of things that can happen with children that it may be very early on, depending on, you know, some children start off being peg-fed, tube-fed. Others have a lot of issues with internal organs because the internal organs can grow much bigger than they should be for each age. So it is a bit individual, and then you've got the other thing because it is genetic, and it's either 50% can come from the parent, so if a parent has SOTOS, or it's just a mutation in the gene.
I've met your daughter, and she is absolutely lovely. She attends public school?
She's at a special education school, but it's entwined with a local mainstream school, which is really good for her because she gets the extra assistance that she needs. But at playtime, she gets to mingle with other students, and she's very social, so for her that's quite important and was something that was really important for us when we thought about which school to send her to.
Have you found there to be any issues within the school system or the other kids when it comes to your daughter?
Most people struggle with her size because a lot of the older kids she gravitates to because she likes older kids. They think she's a bit odd, so they either play with her or they don't. She also has an issue with drooling. So even though we've gone through a lot of processes to try and minimise that, people still find it odd that there's this child that is still drooling at such an age. But generally, people are lovely. As I said, she's very social, so she's got friends all over the place. But as she's getting older and mixing with other kids, she is starting to learn things when they sort of say, you're a special ed kid, or, you know, you different things. So yeah, she's learning to pick bits up.
When it comes to the diagnosis of SODOS, are there any misdiagnoses that can take place to begin with, or is it pretty straightforward?
It's pretty straightforward because it's all through genetic testing, and so that's how they come across. I would say in the early days before they've actually got to the genetic testing, then it's all trial and error in terms of lots of testing. So as I said, with Letty at 6 months, we were big at PMH at that time, and a lot of the student doctors would come and check her out. And so SOTOS is very similar to cerebral palsy in the way that it affects with low tone and muscle movements. So that is sometimes looked at as the child is growing.
I know you stated that when she was born, she had really long legs. Is that also a sign of the SOTOS, or was that just...
No. As I said, you know, they're all a bit different. One thing for my daughter is that she's always been on the skinnier side. She's never really had a lot of muscle or meat, if that makes sense. She's always, even as a baby, was just long and slender, where a lot of SOTOS adolescents are on the larger side. So they're a lot meatier, a lot musclier. But that also doesn't mean that just because they are musclier, that they have the strength in their muscles.
When it comes to a child with SOTOS, what does the future hold, and what do you hope the future would hold for your daughter?
So there's a broad range, because obviously there's a spectrum of where they could sit. A lot of them go on to live very relatively normal lives. They can get a job, all of that. A lot of them have families. You know, SOTOS was only really formally recognised in the 80s. So a lot of people didn't know they even had it, which means that they went on to have families and jobs and all of that. For some individuals, their intellect might not be at a capacity that allows them to be as independent as some people might like to be. It's looking like with my daughter, she's going to either be in a shared accommodation, or we will look to have, a granny flat built or something, so that she's still around us but can still be independent. I guess one thing for her is that she lacks the ability to understand people. She sees the best in everybody, and so whilst we're giving her the skills to try and understand that people are coming, might be coming from a different angle, she is going to be susceptible to people taking advantage of her. So I don't know whether it's a good thing, but I am thinking I will keep her close so that I can keep an eye on that.
If somebody wanted to join your support group, what would be the best way?
The best way would be to go to our website, which is www.sotos.org.au, and right down the bottom there's a Become a Member. And we'd love everyone who is interested in SOTOS, knows anyone with SOTOS, to really get involved and help us connect with the wider community.
From your talking, it seems like there is a wide scale of people with SOTOS, from those who go on to live everyday life, might just have, you know, bigger features, bit taller, to those who might have a peg or other things to help them to eat and move. What is a piece of advice that you would give to anybody who has a child or thinks their child might have to help them continue on in this journey?
My advice is that every individual is rewarding, and it takes time, but to just work out what's going to be most comfortable and in their best interest to help them flourish in everything that they do as they grow older, and really just making sure that the right supports are in place, and that's mainly for them but also for you as a parent or a carer, because you both need it, but the world, there's a endless opportunities for SOTOS individuals to live excellent lives.
Is there anything else that you would like to talk to the audience about?
I think the main thing for me is just making people more aware that it is out there, and that for the individual, you know, there's it takes a lot more for them to try and do something. And even though you can see that the individual, perhaps there is something, that they have something, it's almost like an invisible illness, because they're not outwardly very distinguishable that they may have a disability. And I just think if people are able to learn a bit more about it, then they can be more understanding if they do come across someone who has SOTOS, or just educate other people in the instance of, you know, someone who may experience overgrowth.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Really appreciate having you here. If you'd like to learn more about SOTOS, you can go to their website. And also, if you'd like to learn a little bit more about Lisa's daughter, she will be part of our exhibit for Rare Disease Day coming up February 24th until March 2nd.
Thank you, Emily.